If you'd remain standing just for another minute as we read the word this morning, we're going to be reading out of Jeremiah with you this morning. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 through 8, and then Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. In those two scriptures, it says, Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. And then out of Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. Stop trusting in man. Who has but a breath in his nostrils? Of what account is he? You may be seated. Well, I hope everyone's doing well. And you look good. And it's good to see each and every one of you. Some of the faces I remember, a couple new ones. And continue to put forth your foot every day in serving the Lord. Sometimes that's easy, sometimes it's not. We go through all kinds of troubles and heartaches in life, but there is surely one thing that we can count on, that the Lord's going to see us through each and every one of those. You know, God, since the beginning of time, has put inside us and has given us, has taught us, has created and written about his creation. And we can't even fathom all what God has done. We can't even begin to do that. But God created man, and God has the desire to have a personal relationship with him and trusting relationship with him. And so I encourage you this morning to work on your relationship with the Lord. The one thing that you need to do every day, what is it? Read the Word. You have to read the Word, especially right now, because you don't know what is true and what's not is true. And the Word helps us, guides us, and directs us. And if you can, don't read it just once a day. Read it twice a day. And if you can, read it three times a day. And we eat usually two or three times a day, and we're feeding our body with the energy that it needs to keep us going, and we need the Word to help us in that as well. Isaiah chapter 2, 22 tells us to stop trusting in man. Of what account is he? So the question is, this morning for each and every one of us, is who can be trusted? Who can be trusted? Can you trust a total stranger? In Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 38, is the story of the Good Samaritan. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. We assume that these men were strangers. Hopefully they didn't know him. Life is really tough when people you know do that. But the truth of the matter is, people you know do that. But for this portion of Scripture, we really don't know. We'll say that they were strangers. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. These men had no feelings for this man. They took what didn't belong to him. As far as they cared, he could die. Can you trust the total strangers? In Luke chapter 10, verses 31 through 32, we see a priest have to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Can you trust the priest? Can you trust a religious person? Maybe a man who is a representative of God. Sometimes nationality seems to come into play, and people stick together to their groups. It's a normal thing because it's part of the comfort. I grew up in Cleveland, and I remember in Cleveland, some of our neighborhoods, you had Greeks and you had Italians. So I was in Boston over the summer with my granddaughter in a volleyball tournament, and when we were going through Boston, and we were going through the section of Chinatown there, and, you know, different places are different. And when you walk through Chinatown, town, at least when we were there, you didn't smell fish like a lot of times you would think in Chinatown. I mean, that's not a stereotype, it's the truth. But the sweet smell of cannabis was all over the place. That's what you smelled in Chinatown. I mean, you could get high walking through Boston, believe me. Brought back some memories, to be honest, you know. I mean, we're all about the same age, and it has a very distinct smell. You know, I'm always joking around and playing around, except for God. I'm very serious about God, even though I sort of joke around with that as well. But people, when they feel threatened, they do form groups. Whether you like it or not, you do. Whether it's the church, whether it's family, whether it's your part of your culture of who you are and who you've become, we seem to want to hang around someone. I don't know about you, but everyone's a little different. My love language is touch. So I'm a very touchy person. I'm very much in your face type of person. Sometimes people will, I was in Israel a few years ago, and we went off on a journey, me and another guy, and we sort of got lost. We were trying to get back before the Sabbath, because in Jerusalem, you don't really want to be doing a lot of things that you would normally do when the Sabbath starts on Friday night. So I was trying to find our way back, and there was this homeless lady. And this homeless lady, you know, I mean, she was homeless. I mean, you create your own picture. And she's by herself, and she's got some of her belongings and so forth. And I just go up and I sit down next to her, and I start talking to her, and she just looks at me and she goes, "You don't have to get so close to me." But that's just the way sort of I am. And I try to back off to be sensitive to other people, because not everyone's like that. And I've learned that from my wife. Not everybody wants you to do that. So I've sort of backed off. But when we get ourselves in a situation, we revert back to who we are. And that's a good thing if you're in Christ. But it's not a good thing if you're not in Christ. You don't want to revert back to who you were in a crisis. And so sometimes when our dandruff gets riled up a little bit, and then we get angry or road rage or whatever it might be, you don't want to revert back to the way you used to be. You want to revert back to what God wants you to be. And that's sometimes very difficult for us to do as we struggle. So when we think about nationality and so forth, sometimes we go back to who we are and what we've been taught and part of our culture. When the Samaritan saw this man, he took pity on him. He had compassion on him. He bandaged his wounds. He poured on oil and wine, put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn and to take care of him. And the stranger even left 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper to look after him. Can you trust a stranger? Can you trust a stranger? Can you trust a family member? If you remember back in Genesis chapter 37, is the story of Joseph and his 11 brothers. Joseph was sent by his father Jacob to check on his brothers. The intent was goodwill. It was to check on his brothers who were out in the fields with their flocks. And Jacob loved his sons. He loved every one of them. The story goes that he loved Joseph a little bit more and so forth. And I don't know. I never had my favorite kid. I love all my kids. I love all my great kids. I try to treat them the same. But Jacob had a weakness maybe. And Joseph, for whatever reason, maybe seeing he was blessed. Maybe seeing some of the truths that were coming along that Joseph, and maybe you do have one kid that you're a little more proud of than the other. That doesn't mean you don't love the other children. There's some of my things that my daughter was easy to love. She's perfect. My boys, which I love, were not so perfect. And they caused me a little more grief than my daughter did. They still cause me more grief than my daughter does. So do I love them any different? No, I love them all. I love every one of my kids. Can you trust a family member? Joseph goes out, checks on his brothers and the flocks. Joseph went after his brothers and says, Scripture says they found him near Dothan. But they, the brothers, saw him at a distance and they began to plot. And the plot was to kill him. Can you trust the family member? It's a known fact that in many cases, when your house is broken into, anybody ever had their house broken into? You feel really violated. And not in every case, you feel sort of robbed. You feel frightened. And it's a terrible thing to happen. And it may not be in your case, but statistically, many times when your house is broken into, it's actually someone who knew you that broke into your house. Someone who knew you. And maybe even a family member. I have a friend that his son breaks into his house all the time. He's addicted to drugs. And my friend will go out and buy a new TV. And a few weeks later, he comes home and his TV's gone. Stuff is gone. And more than likely, it was his son who stole those items from him. Why does the son steal from his father? Probably because he knows the father is not going to be really as harsh as maybe someone else. If he caught him stealing them, he probably is not going to. I know my friend, he's not going to shoot him. Can you trust a family member? No. Can you trust them? As we look at the statistics of violence in the family, maybe you read a story about a father who takes the life of his wife and all his children. It's terrible, but you know what? It's reality. Sometimes mental illness, all the pressures in life, everything just comes down on people. And they do things that are like crazy. But statistically, most of the time when that happens, it's a family member. Someone you know. Can you trust people you know? Can you trust the family member? Our headlines are full of news about husbands and wives and children. What about public officials, presidential candidates, senators, mayors, and people in high positions? Can you trust them? Years ago, firemen and police officers were respected positions that someone could be trusted, that if you needed help, those are people you would call to help you, and you trusted them wanted help. Doctors and lawyers and pharmacists and even ministers, they have all had their day in court. And some are going to have their day in court yet to come. Financially, can you trust your employer or your employees? I have a friend that when we were 16 years old, he went into a candy store. And he went in and was opening up the register in front. And he was stealing the money out of the register. And the guy who owned that candy store, his name was Sam Spilius. He was Greek. And he walks up, catches John, taking money out of the register. He says, "Hey, you need a job, get back here and put an apron on and get to work." So John puts the money back. This is true. puts the money back into the cash register, goes back, gets an apron, goes to work. Well, John got me a job at that candy store. And I didn't know it at the time, but the candy store was a front for a bookie joint. This is true. The first day on a job, I was cleaning the restroom. The boss told me, clean the restrooms up, clean everything up. I went into the restroom, and there was a roll of money on the back of that toilet that was like this. I'm not kidding you. And I went out to the boss and said, hey, I think you left a roll of money in there on the back of the toilet. He just looked at me. Walked in. I don't know if he counted it, whatever he did to it. I didn't touch it. And that man, Sam Spilius, I worked for him for 10 years. It's before I became a believer. And he trusted me. Trusted me. With all kinds of things. Can you trust a family member? Can you trust a neighbor? Can you trust a stranger? Who can you trust? Employees, employers, companies that have forsaken the retirement plans of people who have worked a lifetime. Inside trading, dishonest dealings have left us all asking the same question, who can you trust? The real question comes down this morning is, can you trust yourself? Can you trust yourself? And you might say, yeah, I trust myself. Well, let me ask you a couple questions. Do you lie? Has anyone never lied in here? You're lying now. No. Do you lie? Do you steal? Is there anyone who's never stolen anything? Some people can't think of anything they ever stole. I can't say that. But it also then depends on how you define what is stealing. Anyone work for their employer and actually steal some time? We're all guilty. If I went on and named a list, there would be lots of things that we steal. I steal a thought when writing a paper. Plagiarism. The question is, will you be faithful to your spouse? Have you been faithful to your spouse? Can you trust yourself? Have you been faithful to your spouse? Have you been faithful in your mind to your spouse? Oh, we're getting close here now, aren't we? Yeah. Will you be faithful to your spouse? Will you be faithful to your family? Will you be faithful to your friends? Will you lie only when you need to? Or do you just, is it okay to lie once in a while just to make everyone feel better? Can you trust your emotions? Can you trust your feelings? I'm not sure if I've used this example here before or not, but a wife has made an appointment to meet her husband at noon for lunch. Their marriage is in a little bit of a turmoil. They're trying to work things out. And the husband doesn't show up. And it's 12:15. They only get an hour for lunch. And the wife's becoming very frustrated. And she's becoming emotional. And she's very upset. And 12:30 comes, and no husband. And she's thinking all kinds of things.
And she thinks all these things. Their relationship is already in turmoil. She eats and orders. And a quarter till one, she goes back to work. Very upset and mad. Only to find out, through all these emotions and feelings that she had about her husband, that on his way to lunch he was in a car wreck and killed. All those emotions, all those feelings that she had were false. Couldn't trust him at all. How many times have you trusted your emotions and it got you in trouble? You can't trust your emotions. You can't trust the way you feel. How many feel like $1 million this morning? People ask you, hey, how you doing? Well, the first thing out of your mouth is, yeah, everything's great. I do that all the time. For the most part, everything's pretty good. But am I going through things? Well, sure I am, with my family, my grandkids. Things that were a temptation when you were younger, when you get older, are no longer a temptation. But those temptations change. The loss of a loved one, sickness, all kinds of things can come into our lives when we get older. And it causes us to question, causes us to doubt, causes us sometimes with world events to lose hope. Can you trust your emotions? Can you trust your feelings? Can you even trust yourself? We think about it, people haven't really changed much from the time of Joseph or to the Good Samaritan to the new stories of today. Men are born in sin, each and every one of us. We all fall short of the glory of God, no matter how good you think you are. And that sin is not just satisfied with you. Sin desires to have you. To have you. It desires to have not only you, but your family and your friends as well. Sin will master the best of people. The best of them. You may attend church, you may even read the Word every day, and you still are going to struggle with that thing called sin. Now, I believe in holiness, and I believe in setting yourself apart to God, but you're still going to struggle with those things called sin. It's part of the way we were. That Adam, that Eve, which one ever you want to blame, I don't know. But you know the story. Because of sin, it's crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. Many people have given up, and they have no hope. You know, sin is something like this. I'm not sure. I've preached different places and so forth, used different illustrations. But when we were kids, we lived in Cleveland, and our house had a back stairway and a front stairway. And I was the youngest of six. Does that tell you anything about me? I was the youngest of six. And you could go up the back stairways, go through the bedrooms, go to the front stairway, come back down and go like this. So I had an older brother, and I used to tease him to pieces, man. And he would get mad at me. And so I would go up the back steps and come down on like this, and we'd be like Tom and Jerry, just shoo, 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 shoo. Well, our family was probably like a lot of families years ago. My brother, if he'd have got a hold of me, he'd have beat me up. I mean, it was fights. It was just like... And so I was running around, and he's after me and so forth, and I ran into the bathroom. And you know, I knew if I could get that bathroom door shut and locked, I was pretty safe. But if my brother got his foot in that door, I was history. I was history. And Satan's the same way. He'll chase you all over the place if you let him. He'll chase you, he'll hound you, whatever. And when he gets that foot in the door, it's not easy to close that door again. It's not easy to get out that foot out. You know, time brings wisdom. One of the best things you can do to Satan when he gets your foot in the door is to go and smash his foot and say, get out of there. So my brother put his foot in the door and it's like, and sometimes he'd get it out and sometimes he didn't. But my brother was, he's pretty crazy. He's deceased now, but bless his heart. One time I got in there and I locked the door. And you know what my brother did? Whew! Splintered the whole thing up, the whole woodwork off the door. My dad came home, and my dad I remember my dad one time, we were crazy, taking my brother outside. They were fighting and banging his head on the concrete, and the neighbors were yelling at my dad. My brother was nuts. He was nuts. He didn't care. Can you trust the family member? Can you trust your father? Can you trust your mother? I had a great mom, wonderful mom. She passed away December 11th this past year. When my mom died, I've buried a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people die. When my mom died, you know what I did? I crawled into bed. My wife was sick. She was running a fever about 104. I crawled in bed with my wife, and I cried for almost 2 hours like a little baby. Never did that in all my life with anyone else. I trusted my mom. You know why I trusted my mom? Because through my whole life, she never let me down. She was always there. I could always count on her. I knew I could go to her because when I was a teenager, I went to my mom and I said, hey, I think this, or that. She didn't overreact. And she handled it, seen me through my problem, and I trusted my mom. Can you trust a family member? Men, and as we deal with sins and so forth, and we think, there is no hope. After my mom died, I say, who can I trust? I could always trust my mom. But there was a young boy. And when he grew up in around Jerusalem, his brothers didn't believe in him right away. He was a stranger to most. He touched the eyes of a blind man. With a small amount of trust, the crippled man jumped to his feet. The trust that Martha had in him was extreme. He raised her brother from the dead. Nations and millions of people who have never seen nor touched him put their trust in him. Jesus is able to take your sinful heart and able to work in our lives. He's able to do so much if we let him. He's able to forgive us and cleanse us and restore us back into a trusting relationship with him. Who can we trust? Jeremiah 17, verse 7 tells us, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Jeremiah also tells us that in the last days, the prophets, you can't trust them. We're living in a day where people in ministry, you can't trust.
All the TV preachers out there, not all of them, of course, but many of them are false prophets. I pretty much quit Facebook. Every once in a while I go on there. I haven't posted anything for a long time. But last year in the summer, there was a fellow out there who was a prophet and said, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, so forth. Well, some of you remember that I'm very much into the Jewish feasts and festivals and for the timing of what the Lord's going to do. And so he put these events during September and October. Otherwise, I've never even paid attention to them. But he had these dates in September and October that were significant. So I listened to him, and I listened to his prophecies. And, oh man, he had visions of stuff happening in Washington, D.C., where, you know, China and Russia and all this, and stuff did go on. But you know what? He was wrong. He was totally wrong. And so when I purposely go, I'll look him up and I'll see what he's writing and I'll put on there, false prophet. Well, guy probably hates me to death. But he is gaining momentum. He's telling lies. And he is gaining momentum. And his following is becoming very big. People are loving him and adoring him. Now, he's a false prophet. But the same thing's going to happen. You can't believe the news. You can't believe this. You can't believe that. One thing you can believe is what the Word says. And it says there will become an anti-Messiah who will come on the scene. And I don't know when, how, all those things. That's all. But the Scripture says someone's going to come on the scene. And people are going to follow him and follow him and follow him and put their trust in him. And he is even going to dupe Israel that he is the Messiah. Do you know what kind of person that takes? And then he is going to come and peace, 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 but Scripture will say there is no peace. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep them off of people. Keep them off of your family. Keep them off of your friends. Keep your eye on Jesus. I guarantee you, you can trust him. You can trust him. No matter what happens to you in your life. I thought I was done with a lot of temptation. But when I turned 60, the temptations just grew differently. Family, you think you raise your kids and they're doing good, and I have good kids. And then you have your grandkids. And I don't have any great-grandkids yet. For the most part, my grandkids are pretty good too. But I know a lot of people out there that can't say that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep them off of people. Who can you trust? You can trust in Jesus. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Well, people say, yeah, I did. You know what? The day I actually got saved, my brother-in-law says, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you for your sins? Like 1,000 times. I asked him for forgiveness. But he says, maybe you just need to say it out loud in front of someone. And I said the shortest little prayer on December 26th, 1981, at 7:30 in the evening, sitting in my mom and dad's driveway. I said the shortest prayer probably I ever prayed in my life, and it was just simply, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. And my life changed. My heart was right. The conditions were right. I'd asked Jesus lots of times during my life to forgive me. But he came on that day, at that moment of time, and he made a difference because I trusted
the key. At that point, all the other times, I really didn't trust him. I trusted in simple, childlike faith. And I asked for forgiveness for sins. And he changed my heart. He changed my life. Did I sin after that? You better believe it. Do I sin? Yeah, I sin. Oh, it might not be the sins you might think about, but yeah. My mind sometimes, it thinks things that's no different than your mind. If you think your mind's always pure, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. If you think you never do anything wrong, you're lying to yourself. But thank God for grace, and grace alone, that trusting relationship with our Savior. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus, the truth of the matter is, you can be trusted. You can be trusted. We need to trust each other. Not that you'll never fail. Keep your eyes off of people. Trust in your relationship. We need to trust people until they give us a reason not to. You know why I always trusted my mom? For me, not everyone could say this. Because my mom never gave me a reason not to. Can your family trust you? Did you ever give them a reason not to? And if you have given them reasons not to trust you, maybe you just need to go up and give them a great big hug and say, you know, I blew it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Will you work at trusting me? You can't expect people to trust you if you haven't earned their trust. You have to earn trust. It doesn't just come. You have to earn it. And that's why I trusted my. I had a great dad. Did I trust him as much as my mom? To be honest, no. Why? Because in certain ways, he lost my trust. Be honest with yourself. Can you trust yourself to be honest? We need to trust people until they give us a reason not to. Forgiveness is a key in trusting relationships. Did I love my father? They died? Sure. Did we work at building trust again? Sure. Takes work. Takes work. It doesn't just come. We have to trust God is working in the lives of other people as well as ours. You know God's working in your life. You see how he does that every day. But you have to trust that in your prayers for other people that he's going to work in their life too. And that God's arranging for you to build that trust back. God's always working. When I'm home here from Arizona, I go to the fitness center, and I have a new rekindled spirit about youth. Okay? A lot of times we say, youth. They get the really downside of things. And there are a lot of good youth out there. And he just got saved. And we're sitting there sharing at the fitness center. And he's loud like I am, sort of personal like I am. You know, it's like, we're like up real close and we're talking to each other real loud. And everybody in the fitness center is like moving back. And God's working in that young man's life. God doesn't give up on young people. God doesn't give up on each and any of us. He loves us and cares for us. There's still a lot of good people in our world. You know what we need to do? We need to be one of them. We need to be one of them. Our hope is in Jesus. His word. Jesus is the living word. I've told you that every time I come here. He is the living word. And we don't have to live in despair. We don't have to live below what he wants us to live. We ask for forgiveness each and every day. At least I do.
If you're a lot better person than I am, praise God, because I know I have to ask for Jesus. I have to ask for forgiveness every day. I'm not perfect. My mind's not perfect. My anger's not perfect. My feelings aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. But one thing I can say, I am forgiven, and His grace goes out to me. This morning, as we take communion, some of you would like to participate in communion. You're more than welcome to. But as you take communion, I love these new cups and so forth and the convenience of them. But it's like a pillbox. Anyone struggle opening up a bottle of Tylenol or something? Well, these are the same way. And, you know, President Nixon, I read in a book where he would get so frustrated opening up a pill bottle that there would be teeth marks on him where he'd take it and put it in his teeth and turn it. And so if you want to take and use your teeth this morning to open these up and it's easier for you, go ahead. But as we take the bread, symbolic of His body, all that He did for us, and if you take it, and if you place this in your mouth, knowing that Jesus has everything under control, and in spite of all our worries and all of the things we go through, that we realize that He shed His body on the cross for us. This Father, would you take it and eat it in remembrance of Him? And as you work the rest of the paper off, knowing that as you strip that paper back, God strips our sins away. Just pulls them back. And if you really want to feel good this morning, remove the whole thing. Strip it all off. It's going to take you a little more time. Don't spill it. But as you strip that off and you get down to that last little bit and you manage not to spill any of it, that's what Jesus does for us when it sins. And just take it and throw it away. It's exactly what Jesus does for us. Throw it away. And drink His blood in remembrance of Him. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that each and every one of us, as we strip that off, we were asking for forgiveness. We were putting our sins behind us. And that today, this day, we are going to move forward. We're going to pray for the church, which is the body of believers. And God says the gates of hell will not be able to stop or overcome the body of believers. We are a force to be reckoned with. That Jesus, as we keep our eyes on Him, that we keep Him off of people, we keep Him off of family, we keep Him off all those things, but we change our thought mind and our mind, that we lift up our family, and we know that God is working in their life to change them as we pray and we lift them up. We leave everything in Your hands, Lord. We don't know the time or dates, any of those things, but one thing we know for sure, someday, whether it's this year, next year, 10 years, or 100 years, let us not give up. Our hope is in You, that You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, thank you all for coming.